It's hard to miss this. As I said, Vacation Bible School starts tonight. And I just want to ask you, how many of you ever attended a Vacation Bible School? Almost everybody. One of the greatest outreaches that we have as a church is Vacation Bible School. It's during summer vacation. Parents are generally pretty agreeable to sending their kids somewhere, anywhere, for a few hours, just to get away from them after being with them all that time. Well, back in my day, which has been a long time ago, VBS was always in the afternoon because women, for the most part, didn't work outside the home. I don't ever want to say they didn't work. They worked plenty, but they didn't work outside the home. But in all my growing up years, I had one friend who talked about going to the babysitter because their mother worked. And that was really unusual at that time. Now we do VBS in the evening. We provide an evening meal. Now we have security detail, something we would have never even considered back in the 1960s. Back then we had cookies and red Kool-Aid. I still miss that, as many of you know. Today we have snacks that are coordinated with the theme and a glass of water, which is fine. Back then we sang the same songs every year, and I really remember this, that they had a little sheet with all the words on it. And we used the same sheet every year that I went to VBS. Now we have videos with catchy new tunes and motions that I am incapable of following and so on. The world has changed in dramatic ways since I was a kid, since you were a kid, probably in many cases. Well, when I was a child, my playtime was going out in the pasture and watching the cows. That really was it, or else maybe swinging in the backyard, that type of thing. And the rare times that there were other children there to play with, we played outside. The children that we will be seeing this week probably don't spend their time playing in the yard or watching the cows for the most part. The entertainment is electronic in some way. And in order to keep their attention, we have to approach things differently. We just do. Still, God's word does not change. The way we teach it, the way we illustrate it, the way we sing about it may change, but the word itself does not change. I ask you to be in prayer this week for the children and the workers and for each family represented in VBS because, you know, whatever means we're going to use, God's word speaks to people and changes lives. The theme for our VBS this week is game on. And the idea, I assume, behind that phrase is that game on means that we're ready, we're prepared for the game. Bring it on. We're ready. And one of the reasons we're ready comes from the theme verse for this week, 2 Peter 1:3, which says, in essence, God has given us all we need that pertains to life and godliness. He has provided everything we need to get into the game. Evan and I have talked frequently with each other about discipleship, and it's, I think, one of my failings and one of the failings of the church in many ways, because discipleship means to grow people in life and godliness, training disciples to disciple others. And the theory behind discipleship is just simply this. Jesus had 12 of them to start with, and those 12 disciples were trained and then went out and taught other disciples. They multiplied. And we'll use that word here somewhere today, but multiplication reaches a lot more people than addition. If each of you left here today and went out and talked to one person, and that one person came to Christ and came to church, we would double what we have. However, if each of you went out and discipled, as Jesus did, 12 others, and it's a disciple them to disciple 12 others, imagine the change that the world would see. And so we need to be disciples. We need to be discipling others. How do we do that? There's a lot of different ways, but here's the catch. People have to be willing to be discipled. We can't force discipleship on someone. And I really believe this. People need to take advantage of the discipleship opportunities that we offer. Sunday school comes to mind. I'm going to tell you some statistics here, so bear with me. Our fiscal year ends on June 30th, and that's when we figure all these things up about what happened in the past year. Our average Sunday morning attendance fell by 10% last year, down to 188. Sunday school remained steady at 90. And whether it's 188 or 211, which it was last year, less than half of the people who come to church go to Sunday school. It's a discipleship opportunity, and I encourage you to come. Wednesday night, Bible study is an opportunity for discipleship, and we average around 30. Out of those 188, 30 come. Now, we have more than that with Team Kid and Youth, so we actually, you know, probably get pretty close to half of the people. But what I'm trying to tell you is that Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, all of them are opportunities for discipleship. And we offer that, and we encourage you to come. But it's not going to do any good if you don't come. One of the things I promised people when we started this service, and I hope you appreciate this service, I said, we're going to get them to come to Sunday school so that you can still fellowship with them, get to know them. And I really need you to do that, to be a part of what goes on in the church besides this 1 hour. Well, we're going to be looking at the VBS theme verse today, but also a few verses preceding it and following it. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 2 through 9. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. And it reads like this: Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peter started his first letter, 1 Peter, with this same phrase. And that's a great way to greet people. You know, when you see somebody on the street, we usually say, how you doing? Something like that. Try this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. See the looks that you get when you say things like that. Grace, which is something that you don't deserve, and peace, something that comes only through Jesus, being multiplied. As I said earlier, it's way better than addition. When you multiply something, it grows much quicker. And then he adds, not just grace and peace, but also the knowledge of the Lord. I think I've found a new verse for the church birthday cards that I send out, because I just love that. And maybe what we use next time, I don't know. But anyway, what greater wish for anyone that could you have than grace and peace and growing in the knowledge of the Lord? That's an incredible thing to say to people. Here's the verse that is the focus for this week, verse 3. And you'll see it written in different places in different ways. I read from New King James, and this is how it reads. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. I know that it's pretty easy for people, for me, for you, for everybody probably, to complain about how difficult living the Christian life can be. And it is difficult. But just like so many things in life can be difficult. It's difficult to get up and go to work in the morning for many of us, especially those who have had to work out in the 100-plus degree heat and so on and so forth this past couple of weeks, or for those whose jobs include making life or death decisions every single day. These things are difficult, and all of our jobs are difficult, but generally, we are equipped to do our jobs through our education and our training. We don't just go into it blindly. We've been trained. We've been prepared for the most part. Well, being a Christian is difficult, but God, through his divine power, has given us all that we need. All that we need. All things that pertain to life and to godliness has been given to us. How? Through his word. His word. And I know this gets said a lot of times here, but I'm really not sure that it gets through to everybody, so we're going to talk about it again. We're having VBS this week. And for many of the people, young people who come, this week, I want you to think about this, this week will be the only exposure that they have to God's word, to the love of Jesus Christ, for a whole year. Maybe forever. Because it may be the only time that some of these kids come. They may not be here for the whole week. So every moment is important, because maybe that's the only night they'll be here. For some, it will be the beginning of a journey that may end up with them coming to church, coming to Sunday school, coming to Team Kid or to youth, where they're going to be exposed to more and more of God's word, and prayerfully, that will result in salvation. But for some, it's a continuation of a journey. Maybe they've already started. Maybe they've already accepted Christ. I read this testimony of a woman who was 49 years old, who said she'd been going to church for 50 years. And she meant she was there when she was in the womb. She was there from the very beginning. So there are some of these kids who are very well grounded and have homes that really teach the word and will encourage them to grow as Christians. I know church leaders, and that includes me, often complain about the fact that it doesn't seem people take church seriously. And I just want to say, it's not church that's not being taken seriously. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that people are dismissing as not important. And I can accept people dismissing church from time to time, but can we accept people saying that Jesus isn't important? That eternity isn't important? And I sincerely believe that when we see church as something that we go to once a month or a couple times a year, we are telling our children and our families and our neighbors and really the world, it's not that important to worship Jesus. It's just not that big of a deal. You can go a couple times, put in your time, throw a 20 in the plate, whatever, and you've done your part. That's not the way it is. That's not the way that God intended it. It's not the way that Jesus wants it to be. He's given us all that we need to grow in Christ, and by growing in Christ, we are also growing the kingdom. Verse 3 concludes by saying, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You see, Jesus summons us to himself through his glory. There's nobody like Jesus. And I've seen, you know, just yesterday in Kansas City, there was this big concert at Arrowhead Stadium, and people flocked to it, and they had standing room only. And I wouldn't have minded being there myself, quite honestly. I like that guy. But the thing of it is, we're drawn to people who are musicians or athletes or movie stars or politicians or anything you can think of, but Jesus draws us to himself by his glory and by his virtue, by his character. He draws us so that we will be a part of his kingdom and a part of his work. And in order to do the work that he's called us to do, we have to have knowledge of him. We have to grow in the knowledge of him who called us. I really hope that each and every one of you here today gets to know Jesus on a deeper level than by simply sitting inside these four walls. And I counted, actually, there's more than that because we have these angles, but you know what I mean. Sitting inside these walls for an hour or so, occasionally. I hope you grow more than that. I hope this isn't your only exposure to the word. And I'm going to say this again. Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night Bible study are opportunities for you to get to know Jesus and God's word on a deeper level. It won't do you any good if you don't come. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, again, we've been given all that we need, exceedingly and great and precious promises. Why? To enable us to escape the corruption of this world. You don't have to answer this, but you think this world is corrupt? We see more evidence of it every time we turn on the news, every time we open a newspaper, every time we do anything. We see the corruption of the world. And the way to fight that is through his exceedingly great and precious promises. He mentions the word lust here, which in this particular case refers to sinful desires of all kinds, not just the lust that we normally think of. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, which you don't have to turn there, but we're told that God provides a way of escape from temptation. And that is an exceedingly great and precious promise. He provides a way for us to avoid temptation. But just like the other things I've talked about, he provides it, we have to take it. We have to accept the way of escape. And the way to escape the corruption of this world is through knowledge of his word. Randy read to you earlier from Romans 8. I want to read 31 again. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All that we need is provided. If God was willing to send his own son to die on a cross for my sins and for your sins, how much more is he willing to give you? He's already invested his son's life. Of course he'll give us what we need to follow him. And it says not just to give, but also to give us all things that we need to live a godly life. Now, I know people who would do this. They would look at Romans 8:31 and they'd say, it says he will give us all things. He'll give me, you know, a great vacation, or he'll give me a great car or a big home or whatever. That's not what it's saying. He gives us all that we need in order to live a godly life. It's provided for us. We don't have to go out searching for it because he provides it for us. He gives us all we need. Verses 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, in order to provide us all we need, he gives all diligence. But I want you to notice this. He gives us an instruction. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. God gives us all that we need to live for him, but there are some things that we have to do. Now, I didn't read verse 1 of 2 Peter, but at the end of that verse, he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. He's speaking to believers here. He's writing a letter to believers. And because of their faith here, he tells them now to add to their faith. Not because it's needed for salvation. Salvation's already come. But because adding these things should be an outgrowth of salvation. And it's a way to grow, to be game on, to be ready for the game. Let's look at these things real quickly. These things that he mentioned here. Virtue. Well, it mentions that God, Jesus, called us to himself through his glory and his virtue. Virtue is Christ-like character. Take your faith and add to it virtue. Become more like Christ. He says to add to that, knowledge. Well, there's a lot of knowledge in this world today. Just read something just this morning. that tells us that they've found evidence now that man maybe didn't start in Africa, they started in China, and it was 2.1 million years ago because they found a rock that was 2.1 million years old. Well, I got to tell you, I don't believe that. If you think I'm crazy, that's all right. But that's knowledge that's being, you know, shoved out onto the world. That's not the knowledge that he's talking about here. You got faith, you've got virtue, add knowledge of God's word. And you do that by coming here on a Sunday, but there's other times, other places, other ways that you should be adding to that. Well, here comes a tough one for a lot of us. Self-control. You got faith, you've got knowledge, you got virtue. Now add to that self-control. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but most of us struggle with that, don't we? What that means is that we need to master our emotions instead of letting them be our master. And one of the things that I have been very guilty of in the past, and I've learned not to do it, stop saying that's just the way I am. Because the way I was, the way I am, was a wretched sinner. And sin is what boiled out of me whenever I lost self-control. I can't go around saying, God, that's just the way I am. I've got a temper. Well, if that's the case, exercise self-control through faith, through knowledge, through virtue, through Christ. That's what he's telling us to do here. Perseverance, pushing on despite the difficult circumstances. I got to be real honest with you here. There's been a lot of times in the last few months that I didn't want to persevere. I wanted to quit. I just wanted to stop. And what God tells us here in his word is, push on. Game on. Be ready. Continue to struggle and fight because God is on your side. And if God is with you, who can be against you? Then it says godliness. And I always struggle with this word because it's a small g. And I always capitalize it. And my word program always underlines it like it's wrong. But to me, when you're talking about godliness, it means being like God, not like a god, like God. And being in touch with God, living for God, not for ourselves. That's godliness. Another one, brotherly kindness. Remember, Scripture says that if we love God and hate our brother, we are a liar. Kindness isn't always easy, but it's always required. I see so many situations where there's no kindness whatsoever. There's attack and there's hatred and so on. And Jesus tells us in his word to have love for our brothers, all brothers, sisters. And the last one that we add to it is love. If everything we did was tempered with love, I want you to think how different the world would be. If everything we did was tempered with love. And we love because he first loved us. Well, that's what verses 5 through 7 say essentially, is to take all these things and add to them. And it sounds like a lot. It sounds like you've got a lot of different things to work on. But I want you to think again back to when I said, you know, we all have jobs that are difficult, but we've been trained in them. We've been prepared for them. That's what this is. It's training us and preparing us for the job that we have to live a Christ-like life. Now, every one of those words could be its own sermon. I won't do that to you here today, but I really believe that we're called to examine our lives in light of these verses. And if we're not seeking knowledge of God's word, we need to do something about it. If we allow difficult circumstances to put an end to Christian behavior or an end to the work that we do for the Lord, we need to learn to persevere. If we're not practicing brotherly kindness and love in all situations with all people, we're not following the instructions for believers. By this time next week, the children in VBS will be back home. They will have been exposed to all of this knowledge, but they're going to need help living it beyond Friday night. And quite frankly, you have been exposed to this knowledge this morning. Are you going to be able to live it beyond 9:30 today? God has given you, he has given me all that we need in order to live a life for him. Verses 8 and 9, for if these things, all these things we've talked about, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So many convicting things there. Are you fruitful or are you short-sighted? We sing in Amazing Grace that we once were blind, but now we see. But are we so short-sighted in what God expects of us today that we, once again, are blind? Have we forgotten that he cleansed us from our sins? Have we forgotten that being forgiven of our sins is wonderful and exciting news that we ought to be willing to share? God's given us all that we need to live a life that glorifies him. Maybe you're one here today that's never experienced the forgiveness of sins. Just this past week here in our community, we saw once again that no one's promised tomorrow. And you don't have to be 90 years old. You might be younger than that. Nobody's promised tomorrow. I pray that if there's one here today that's never accepted the truth of Jesus Christ and the fact that he died on the cross for your sins, that you might be forgiven and spend eternity with him in heaven. If you've never done that, this is the day. For the rest of us, I really implore you this week to be praying for Vacation Bible School. Pray for the kids. Pray for lost people that you know and love who may not be promised tomorrow. We have all that we need in order to live a life like he wants us to live. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your word. I thank you for this verse, Lord, which has been chosen by somebody months ago to be the theme for Vacation Bible School this year throughout the United States and probably around the world. But I pray, God, that we recognize what it's truly saying to us, that you, through your love, through your divine power, have given us everything we need that pertains to godliness, that everything that we need to have knowledge of you is provided for us. And I do pray, God, that we just take advantage of the opportunities that we're given. But I also pray, Lord, that we become disciple makers, not just disciples, that we also help to disciple others to grow closer to you. Lord, I pray that you help each one of us use the gifts and the talents that you have given us to glorify you and to further your kingdom. God, again, if there be one here today who's never accepted the truth of Jesus Christ, let this be the day, Lord, that they have the boldness to step forward, the humility, really, to step forward and say, I need Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you've given us and for providing all that we need. And I pray this in your name. Amen.